You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Big Sui, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We have so many questions today. Are all the teams in the AFC really bad, or are all the teams in the AFC really good? Do the Kansas City Chiefs now have the best defense in football after we, like 3 weeks ago, asked, are the Chiefs terrible? And I'm going to hand this over to Whittingham here in a second, because even by the standards of dirty, gross football Sundays, I've had an uncommonly bad one today. I had all sorts of flight issues, so I was watching. My flight took off at 1 p.m., and it was a three-hour flight, and all I got was, like, dodgy internet service watching it on like, and so I've got dodgy internet service, and I'm just sort of box score watching and game chart watching, and then suddenly a video pops up on my computer, a precious video. I feel like a man who's crawling across the desert and finds some sand, and it's Dolphins Jets. So, Whittingham, you take it from here. All I've seen is football via computer today on dodgy internet with bad video.
That's the norm for me. I mean,
that go in flight, by the way, trying to stream video, to get a tweet to show up. You pay for the 10 megabits per second thinking that'll help. It doesn't help. Nothing helps with go in flight.
It's terrible. So you go ahead and take it here, yeah. Whittingham, because as far as I saw, all I saw was I don't know what was worse today, my internet or the football.
So I feel like the first thing, like we should almost talk about the things you would have not enjoyed in the football Sunday. So I lead off there with the 49ers opening drive. I don't know if any of you guys saw this.
No.
20 plays, 83 yards, 12 wow. minutes off the clock. They kicked on 4th and 1 from the 2.
Yes.
They kicked a field goal.
No. Yes.
Oh, Barzell would be so proud.
Yes. The Navy midshipman special right
there. Kyle, why? I can't believe someone has an observation on the Niners-Jags game.
Well, that's a football drive, though, Mike. Come on. That's a football drive.
Well, obviously, it's worth talking about, which is a shock to me, because I have nothing on this game. Absolutely nothing. It came and went. The Niners rolled them, and it's not even fun anymore laughing at Urban Meyer. It just – it's the reality of the situation at this point.
After the first five offensive possessions of that game, the 49ers had run 36 plays. The Jags had run four.
Do you guys realize how close the Ravens are to being like 3-7?
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Dude, yep. I mean, that team
Mike, that AFC North, that AFC North is a bloodbath.
Yeah, that well, the entire AFC really is. But the Ravens in particular, they should swap logos with the Indianapolis Colts because they are the luckiest team. That being said, that's a hell of a drive by your backup quarterback in those instances. I'm talking, of course, about Andy Dalton.
Red rifle. I mean, he's back. Yeah.
And then everyone in the stadium, everyone watching was shocked when Mooney appeared in the secondary, defended by no one within 20 yards.
He's a good player. For the Ravens to win that game, after Andy Dalton does that and has the drive to win it, they've had so many of these games where they've come back from the brink, the Chiefs game, the Lions game earlier in the season that they had no business winning. They are going to get into the playoffs because they're winning within the margins, and I'm not exactly sold on them as a good team.
Who the hell's the best team in the AFC? Somebody answer me. Who's the best team in the AFC?
Is it New England?
It is New England. You didn't, why? Why not the Patriots?
Oh, no, it can be. It's just annoying. Just get that out of my life.
Yeah. It's probably the Chiefs now that they've fixed their defense, it would appear. Right? I don't know. I was mad at Aaron Rodgers for getting COVID, not because he led us astray, and I felt like he lied to me personally.
I'm going to throw confused questions just like at all of you. Like, for example, are the Colts good?
I think they are. That's an impressive win going into Buffalo. Like, I was.
Jonathan Taylor's good. Why don't we talk about him?
For the first 10 weeks, they really weren't that good. And now I think they're really good.
But actually, I have a stat on the Colts. I saw this. So you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, Jessica. So his life is a lot easier than every other running back in the league. That doesn't mean he's not good. So since the Colts got their offensive line healthy, he has averaged 4 yards per carry before being touched for the Indianapolis Colts. That's almost 2 full yards before contact than any other running back in the league. Their offensive line is healthy, is what's happened. It's why they go into Buffalo and kick their ass.
I demand someone to explain to me why it takes 3 games for the now they miss Derrick Henry game to show up.
Oh, the now they miss Derrick Henry game. 4 Tannehill interceptions at home. Against the Texans.
Welcome back, Chris.
How does that happen? Like, explain that to me. So the Titans are the hottest team in the NFL. You guys can't say the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. I know they're at the top of the division. I know they've got the longest winning streak in the sport. But you don't trust the Patriots to win a bunch of playoff games.
I can and I will. I think the Patriots probably are the best team in the AFC right now, Dan. They've won 4 or 5 straight. No, seriously.
So the Titans were today. The Titans have lost to the Jets and the Texans, and they've got a better record than your Patriots.
I never felt like the Titans were the best team in the AFC. I never felt like that because Derrick Henry wasn't there. I mean, they won some games, but I never felt like the Titans were the best team in the AFC. The Patriots are playing very well. I mean, but you just said
that the Patriots have the best winning streak in the league, and the Titans had it before the Texans beat them today.
Yeah, but I wasn't saying the Titans were the best team in the AFC. I just wasn't because Henry's hurt. But Mac Jones is getting better every single week. Belichick's the best coach we've ever seen.
Did Mac Jones have anything to do with them winning against Atlanta? Like, Mac Jones is doing?
No, it's that defense. It's that defense. Yeah. And I think really that's the path here. And it's why if Kansas City has really figured out that defense, and it shows that they're finally taking the running lanes, right? They're running the ball, playing complementary football. It's not the exciting Kansas City Chiefs, but ultimately they have weapons that no one else really has in the AFC. I didn't want them to get in the dance. And if you let that team into the tournament, everyone's going to be afraid of them because we've seen them do it before.
Did that happen to Dallas today because Kansas City has figured out defense or because Lamb went out with a concussion and because Amari Cooper didn't play? And all of a sudden when that happens, you know, you're like all of a sudden.
And Tyron Smith was out.
Yeah. Right. I mean, injuries are obviously a massive part of the game. Now COVID is a part of the game. That wasn't the Cowboys' best shot, but I still thought given how bad the Chiefs' offense had looked this year, how overwhelming the Cowboys' offense was, and just the fact that Sorensen exists wearing a red jersey, I thought the Dallas Cowboys would perform a lot better. I was shocked that they didn't score. They scored two touchdowns in every game they've played this season, Dan. They scored zero today.
I feel like you're playing with math on that one, though. They scored two touchdowns in the Broncos game, but they were down 30-0. Like,
well, the AFC West certainly has a Dallas Cowboys number.
I wanted to ask you a question because you get so excited when you have these unique scores, and you had another unique score today, and you do your shots of beer and everything else. But has anyone dampened this with the scoregami? Have they dampened it by pointing it out to you that it's only over the last 10 years or so that there have been 2-point conversions to skew all of these numbers?
I don't care. I would get scoregami. Just give me scoregami. And I love that more people are on to scoregami.
I'm just saying, if they suddenly make a scoring item worth 5 points, you're going to get a whole lot more scoregamis in the future.
Why are you donating in the scoregami? I mean,
it's not as fun when you just call it a unique score too. That kind of takes away.
Take that back. Don't say unique score ever again.
It's literally like the only pure thing we have in football, and Dan is just like,
it's not pure because the 2-point conversions are relatively recent phenomenon.
It's true.
When did the 2-point conversion come into the NFL? You're saying that because the extra point got moved back, that there are a lot more missed extra points.
There were 20 some odd missed kicks today. But no, what I'm saying when you throw in the 2-point conversion and the ability to add all these, make all these touchdowns worth 8 points, all of a sudden, instead of 7 years where the score can be that only if there's a safety, now all of a sudden, why am I ruining it? I didn't even watch the 1 o'clock game today.
I think the 2-point conversion rule also started in like the mid-90s. So it's been a couple decades. It's not that recent of a rule.
94 for the 2-point conversion rule. So
what is Dan doing?
It's 94. You're young.
25 years we've had the 2-point conversion rule. That seems like a long time. I would have guessed the under there.
We've had it almost all of Jessica's life.
Actually, yes, all of her life. My entire life. I don't remember a world before the 2-point conversion.
You don't remember a football that didn't have 2-point conversions. You don't remember a football when you were down 8, you were simply going to lose. It was not a one possession game anymore.
Never. My whole life never happened.
But to Dan's, a better time.
But to Dan's point, the scoregami game is certainly taken a turn where you're seeing more because of one of the more effective rule changes in NFL history, backing up the point after try. There are so many missed extra kicks. You can't ever say that's 7 on the board.
Has it been a good rule change? Because like, well,
oh yeah, it's a good one.
No, it's only annoying when you have in gambling the team that misses the extra point and you're like, come on. Like I jumped on the Texans live today and I was I can't get from 12 to 13. Like I'm always the Texans, every time they score a touchdown, are gonna miss the extra point. Do you guys see, by the way, that the Texans did not score an away touchdown in 268 plays?
Wow.
268 plays it had been since they scored an away touchdown in week 2.
My favorite stat was up until DeAndre Swift had his like 50-yard run on a Browns defense that didn't even really touch him. Darius Slay, the Slaymaker, had as many touchdowns as the Detroit Lions had since week 8.
Big play Slay.
Yeah, big play Slay. The Slaymaker, he had 3 touchdowns tying the Detroit Lions prior to that Swift TD.
Was that Browns game an unpleasant watch for you? There were a lot of these 13-10s. The witching hour just had, right, the Ravens up 6-0 or something like that in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, the Browns game was it felt like a loss. But then I see what happened in the AFC, and there's a lot of teams that would have been happy to have an ugly win today. It's just Baker is way too hurt. Landry went out in that game. Peoples Jones didn't play. I was learning that we had wide receivers on the roster today. That is not a good way to go about winning in the NFL. They have the Ravens next week on Sunday Night Football, and then they have their bye week and sweet, sweet relief. I almost want the Browns to just forfeit next week. Don't even show up. They need 2 bye weeks. Baker Mayfield, he's either bad or he's hurt. and he's hurting the team's chances by being out there. He can barely walk into the huddle.
What happened? 2 weeks ago, I told you he would have been better off just sitting there and not getting more and more hurt, that he would just be better off just sitting there and not playing, trying to getting a new contract with a torn labrum and a torn shoulder and a torn pec and a torn face and a torn scrotum and a torn sphincter and a torn everything that he's got.
Yeah, he's got he's got a fracture in his shoulder. He's got the torn labrum. He's got a knock on his knee. He's got a foot injury that not many people are talking about that has him limping around, that he aggravated even more today. I actually think they should start Case Keenum. Give Baker Mayfield 2 weeks off.
But you're thrilled with the win, right, Mike? Like you're thrilled. Yeah,
I was thrilled, but I have more questions about my quarterback, and he doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt because his career has just been so uneven. He's been really hard to evaluate anyways, but how do you make a ruling on this guy when he's this hurt right now? Surely it has to play a factor into how he's playing right now.
You can't, but I'm wondering how this works for Chris and Chris. Like, with the Dolphins winning three straight and an easy part of their schedule coming up, I can't believe I'm saying that. Like, are you guys excited? You won three straight. No, you're in the mix for a wild card spot.
It's the same. Oh, come on. They're 4-7, and you just watched the same Jets game you've been watching for two decades. I preferred that I had the dodgy internet, so I didn't have to watch as much of that game as was on the video.
Listen, we've learned that the Dolphins can screw up any draft pick, so you just root for them to win. Enough with this, like, they got to be terrible. Like, so what? They're going to be 4-whatever if they lose. Like, just let them win.
But even then, they don't have their draft pick, so I can't even rely upon the old trope of rooting against your own team, which I have perfected over the course of the last 10 years of watching Dolphins football. But no, I mean, what is there to be excited about?
I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying root for them to win.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I'll root for them to win. But I watched them today, and it's 7-7 going into halftime, and they do the exact same thing they do every week. They have an amazing opening drive. They have to lead the NFL in opening drive points.
They're so good on opening drives. I feel like for a decade we've been watching them be good on the opening drive and then go into the half with 7 points.
Right. They do this every week. So it's 7-7 and they're driving inside the Jets 25, and it's obvious they're playing for a field goal. They ran the ball on 3rd-and-1 from the Jets 23 to get 2 yards, burn their last timeout, and, you know, throw a couple of passes to the sideline to set up a field goal that they eventually missed. Like, that's what they try to do. They try to kick field goals against the Jets.
I got so sad on that airplane when I'm sitting there watching that cement-footed Flacco drop back again and again, and the Dolphins are like, you know what we got for you? We got a whole lot of Gaskin for you. We're going to just keep giving you Gaskin and see if you have any answers for us.
And Gesicki. I mean, the Dolphins can win out. I'm serious.
Stop it.
But Dan, guys, look it up, hear me out. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Home against the Panthers, home against the Giants, home against the Jets, mm-hmm. at the Saints, at the Titans. Okay. I mean, the Titans lost to the Texans today, and then home against the Patriots. I don't 10-7. I mean,
I don't know what to do with Waddle. He like leads all rookies in catches, but there's nothing like I was expecting more big plays out of him. I mean,
here's the problem with that, Chris. I saw Pro Football Focus stat, and it's what makes it impossible not only to evaluate Tua, but to evaluate Waddle. I think I have this right, and it probably or it might have changed some today, but there were only 7 teams in the league, okay, that had allowed, excuse me, let me say that another way. The Miami Dolphins have already allowed more pressures this season of their quarterback than all but 7 teams in the league allowed all of last year. Like in just the 10 games, so you can't get the ball downfield, and Tua, even if Tua wants to be a downfield quarterback instead of throwing it to Gesicki and Gaskin every time, all he's got time to do is throw the ball short.
He's letting it go a little more downfield. He had the one to Matt Collins today. I don't know, man. It's just tough to gauge this offense at all because I'm so negative and I just like think that they're not that good.
to Chris Cody's point, I think it's back-to-back games now that Tua has set a personal best with air yards on long completions. He had one to Waddle last week and the Hollins throw here. So it's a development of the quarterback. And I don't think we're having – now, the trade deadline is passed, obviously, so you don't have the Deshaun Watson thing going. But I think the Tua debate and the dialogue is quietly going away for a little bit, and he's playing well lately.
Actually, they've just won a couple of games.
But that helps.
I know, but that's the only reason that the dialogue goes away. I want to talk about the coaches and the former coaches of the Jets. I love your fake tooth, Rex Ryan, saying, don't compare me to Salah. And then Salah saying, he knows where to find me. And then Rex Ryan calls him. And then Rex Ryan, after the phone call, says, I couldn't have been more impressed, which is just bullshit.
Such a soft
it's just bullshit.
Oh, so he just had to get you on the phone. He's Solid like, I couldn't have been more impressed with him. I talked to him for about 10 minutes. It's like, Rex, bogus. You were so soft.
That's so weak. Punked. It's so weak. He made a phone call to Salah. Salah said, stop doing things like that. And Rex Ryan says he couldn't have been more impressed by him in a phone call.
Rex is right, though.
What was said in that phone call? What could have been that impressive? Like, I'm telling you, they're headed in the right direction. We got these guys. They're really just a bunch of random coach speak. And Rex Ryan's like, you know what? I like the cut of your jib.
If you care about the organization, if you care about me, give me a chance. I'm in my first season. Like, come on. We're all in this together. It was that kind of conversation. It's bogus. Dan is totally right. Because Rex's original point was correct. I mean, he isn't Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan went to back-to-back AFC Championship games with the Jets.
Oh, you know what he did? He probably did the Andrew Siciliano move to Stugatz. Hey, why don't you come out, watch a practice, you know, invite him. You can even call a couple plays.
Right,
call a couple plays.
The only lasting image I have of Robert Saleh is every time they cut to him after the Jets had a back-breaking penalty today. He tried to make a different face after every holding, after every roughing the passer, after every false start. There were so many back-breaking dumbass penalties by the Jets today.
My wife thinks he's hot.
It's crazy that he's less hot than he was with San Francisco, though. You become a head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike Vrabel, Saleh, they all become instantly a little less good looking. Mike Vrabel today looked like I know it was like raining there, but like it was like, dude, have you ever not heard of covering it? It looked like
that was ridiculous. Was he was just sitting there getting rained on for 3.5 hours. At least the Texas
like he was
coach
an extra in Titanic
and a hat on, but he was just standing there while buckets of rain were being dumped on his head. Like when it's raining that hard, you can't see well. I can't imagine. Also, he has all this equipment on. Is he not afraid of being electrocuted? I'm just saying. I wish one of those
coaches had the comfort in his own masculinity to just be out there with a parasol. Just get out there with a parasol and stay dry.
Wasn't it Rodney Harrison who had the guy holding the umbrella over him?
Come on.
Why don't you have an umbrella holder? Like they have college coaches with get-back coaches. Why not get someone to just hold an umbrella over your head? Doesn't make any sense.
And Pete Carroll, too. His chewing of the gum has a totally different vibe when the Seahawks stink.
It looked panicked. When Russell Wilson has pins in his – and all of a sudden, when he's got pins in his fingers, Pete Carroll looks like an old man throwing a flip phone on the field, and it looks like panicked gum chewing.
So we actually got a lot of shit last week for saying that, wow, this appears to be the end of that Seahawks era. And a lot of people were like, don't throw dirt on our grave. Can we do it now? You just lost to Colt McCoy. Flip phones are falling out of your coach's pocket.
You didn't just lose to Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy had threw 40 passes, had 7 incompletions, and 3 of them were drops. Colt McCoy dragged your ass.
The Browns would win the AFC if Colt McCoy were their quarterback. I am certain of it.
And Colt McCoy had what? It was 16-13. They have to go kill the game, and he killed the game. Like play after play on that final drive, and they won today. Arizona did without Kyler and without DeAndre Hopkins. Like we keep asking who's good. I think they're the team that's good. I've turned around on Arizona. I said earlier this year that I didn't trust Kingsbury, but I think that team is just good. Like we know that they're good.
We do know that they're good, but what happened to them last week?
Exactly.
Good question.
Is this like a gradual turnaround? Like, are you not facing them and then you whip around really fast? Like, when you turn around on a team, is this like something that happens over a bunch of
games? It's subtle. I start at a complete 180, and I would say, like, I go 20 degrees each week.
Okay.
And so I think this after their 9th win, we're fully turned around.
No, but the turnaround can happen slower, too, because Tannehill went 3 or 4 games giving you exactly exactly.
Never turn it around. Right. What
you said after you said enough with Tannehill a month ago. He waited a month before giving you the Tannehill four interception game.
Turn around like a battleship on that one.
We're the problem. Because Dan just asked, what happened last week? Well, they lost with their backup quarterback. Are they not entitled to occasionally do that? They're a good team still.
No.
Teams aren't bad if they lose a game.
No, all the teams in that, I'm willing to say it today, all the teams in the NFL are bad. All of them. All of them are bad, and now some of them are injured. So the ones that are going to win are the ones that are the healthier, less bad teams.
I mean, the Packers are bad. The Packers, they're bad. The Vikings.
Who was that guy?
What happened this week, Stugatz?
I want you to pronounce the name of that guy that Aaron Rodgers threw his first touchdown to, where he's rolling to his left and throws it into the end zone to that guy. It sounds like Lou Dobbs pronounces the name of Mexican cities.
Josiah DeGuara.
Yeah, DeGuara.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Who are the biggest we don't have a clue teams? If we all had to nominate,
the Bears don't have a clue.
No, the Vikings, I'm telling you, the Vikings at times look like they can win the Super Bowl, and at times they look like one of the worst teams in the NFL.
The Colts are pretty we don't have a clue.
Wait, I don't know what
Jets are. Wait, are you saying we don't have a clue if they're good, or we don't
know? No, Jets are playing a different question.
You answered the question that the answer
look
is
into
the
my
Lions.
Eyes, screw you.
The Lions, the Jets. No, what he is saying is... You're watching this team, and you don't know if they're going to win the championship or if they're just total horseshit.
The Jags. They could lose to the Jags.
I feel like that's the whole AFC right now.
Yeah. Maybe it's the
Steelers-Chargers game tonight. Like, what are we feeling about that? I have no idea. I mean, people are going to listen to this tomorrow, but...
Bolt up.
It's a massive game, and there's if you look at the schedule, you have like all these elimination games. Like, Cincinnati and Las Vegas kind of felt like they had an elimination game earlier today. Man, what a horrible season for the Raiders. It's just
it all went sideways.
It looked so good. Like
they could have survived. They could have survived the racist scandal. They couldn't survive the guy going 165 miles an hour and killing someone.
They're done. It just totally nuked their season's done.
You know what's funny?
It was filled with such promise.
You know what's funny about this? Like, I don't blame you for saying that, okay? But they're 5-5. They're a couple of wins away. They're in the hunt, and they're a couple of wins from leaving the division.
Stugatz, what's their schedule?
Raiders, I'll get on it. Hold on. I'm looking too many things up right now.
If they win their next three games in a row, there's the chance they lead the AFC.
Oh, Christ.
I mean, what else are you looking up right now? I feel like that was the only thing.
I was looking up the Vikings schedule. I had some other things going on.
The Vikings
on.
Are another five.
I think they're good. I think the Vikings are good. I'm going to say that. I don't think they're, we don't know about them. I actually think that the Vikings are good.
But are they good now? And they were just bad earlier in the season?
Don't worry about it.
Because they should have beat Arizona, which I think we all kind of agreed are good outside of last week when they lost, right?
I liked that Kirk Cousins out-dueled Aaron Rodgers in the I do my own research bowl today. That was like a really good twist. I feel like the Vikings have just been like one competent field goal kicker away from actually being an NFC powerhouse the last 5 years.
Yes, they're also, I think I read this on Pro Football Focus, three bounces away from being 0-10.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I have the Raiders schedule in front of me. Ready, Dan? I have it in front of me.
This is very exciting. So they're 5-5 right now. You guys are saying they're more done than the 5-5 Vikings because the Vikings won today to get to 5-5, but the Raiders lost today to get to 5-5. Correct?
Yeah, that's right.
You have that one right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You ready? Because I feel like everyone in this league should be 5-5.
That would be awesome.
Isn't it? I kind of feel like they are when I look at the standings. What's a Raiders schedule, Stu Katz?
All right, here we go. At the Cowboys. I mean, tough game, Lost. But at the Cowboys.
Thanksgiving game.
Although maybe the AFC West does have the Cowboys number.
And which Cowboys is it? Is it the Cowboys that lost at home to the Broncos? Right. The Cowboys have been terrible two out of their last three. Really terrible.
Everybody, by the way, playing on Thanksgiving lost today. There isn't a single team that we are seeing gathered around the television with our families that is in the win column.
Can we all just skip Lions Bears? Like, I feel like that's a punishment that we have to watch that on Thanksgiving.
I think Tim Boyle is the nadir of Thanksgiving Lions. It is as bad as it gets.
Tim Boyle is the only reason the Browns won today. And I'm pretty sure he was the best quarterback on the field.
Wait, a guy named Tim Doyle played quarterback today for somebody?
Tim Boyle would be.
That's fine. Yeah. Anyway, they're home against the football team the following week. I mean, the Green Lizards play well.
Green Lizard today. Wow. Yeah. What a performance.
Someone said Brett Favre, and I'm like, yes. It's just because he does crazy things and wears number 4. Cool. But yes.
They're at the Chiefs after that. They're at Mike's Browns after that.
That may get switched to a primetime game. There's talk that game may get moved to a Saturday. Because that's what the Browns need. A short week.
Home with the Broncos, at Colts, home with the Chargers. I don't think the Raiders are making it.
That's really tough. That's a really tough schedule.
They're not for real.
Read that Dolphin schedule again, though. He's looking good.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm telling you. Little 10-7.
I'm back.
I have to be honest. He read it, and I'm like, where's the win? He read all these teams. I'm like, yeah, that's a loss. That one's also probably a loss. And he had him at 10-7 by the end.
I just love that. That's one of my favorite things in the analysis throughout football, looking at a schedule and saying that those are all winnable games while all of those opponents are looking at the Dolphins on their schedule and saying that's a winnable game.
It's the entire
3/4 of that league looks into a mirror and says that's a winnable game,
and they're right.
Yeah, I mean, well, with one glaring exception in Detroit.
That's a tieable game.
Yeah.
Shout. But so next up for the Dolphins is Carolina. I feel like Carolina tried to cheat today. They tried to get two Cam Newton games because they got the Cam Newton game last week beating Arizona, and then they tried it again. There was a whole lot of Cam Newton, him coming out of the end zone. I will say, that dude is an amazing performer. Not performer on the field, performer as in walking out of the tunnel, knowing exactly where the camera is, knowing exactly how long to take before going through the smoke, then going through the smoke. Cam Newton, and then the celebration.
He was good at the smoke.
Midfield. Good at the He's smoke. So good at all
good
of it.
At the smoke.
Not, yeah. not as much. Not really that good at playing anymore, but everything else.
The throwing thing, not as good.
Yeah, the intermediate to deep throwing thing. Because
really, super inaccurate. Super inaccurate. But
I actually,
He was great at getting the ball to McCaffrey. That he's great at.
McCaffrey would have played too up the seam. But I actually thought Carolina's watchable now. They weren't watchable with Sam Darnold towards the end there. And I thought Cam actually played kind of well, but he has his deficiencies, and maybe we could get more fun gimmicky games. Do you think they can squeeze a third Cam Newton game?
How about you don't run all the way to midfield for some celebration if you're just going to end up losing the game? Like, how about you? You know,
that's
just
totally fair. But Mike,
that also
right.
felt like a celebration without a plan.
Oh, but
just
wait,
like running to midfield and pointing where to whom at what?
If he were ever considering the idea of losing a game, he wouldn't go into his closet before it and put on any of the things that he puts on.
We're talking about Cam Newton, but Mike's right. You care about them now. Like, you do, because of Cam Newton. Like, you absolutely care about watching that team now.
It helps that McCaffrey's there too, because during that stretch with Darnold, he didn't have CMC, who's an electric player, probably won't get the credit that he deserves, but he kind of matters to them a lot.
Nothing looks cooler than when a quarterback pregame is on the field and he's doing that thing where he like throws the ball at the ground, like essentially dribbling a football. And Cam used to crush that. And today on Sunday NFL Countdown, they cut to him pregame on the field. They're like, there he is, Cam Newton. And he did that thing and it like tumbled away from him and he had to go like pick up the ball. And I was like, I knew right there. I was like, it's just not the same anymore, and he's definitely going to lose this game.
Have any of you ever had any confidence, the equivalent amount of confidence in any realm of your life that Justin Jefferson has when dancing after touchdown?
Oh, I want to do that dance so bad. I could never pull it
off. Do it right now.
I think it's called the gritty dance. I can't. I would need to practice it. Maybe I can do it tonight, and maybe on the show tomorrow.
Would have death punishment?
Something. I mean...
I would pull something. It just looks so cool. He does the thing and then like the eyes. It's just,
but when it's paired with Thielen too, because Thielen has moves too. They look so cool when they do that.
Me and Witty are going to do that tomorrow.
They are. They
right now get roped into this.
I would love to see Witty do that.
Here's what I would argue on behalf of the Vikings, Stugatz. It's a very weird analysis when you ask the question, are they good? Here's what my analysis would be. Well, they're 5-5 and it's very confusing, but no team in the sport wants to see Kirk Cousins with the ball and about 2 minutes left in the game.
I'm telling you. You come around, Dan. You made fun of me for that. No one wants to see Kirk Cousins. Everyone says, oh, the Packers left, or the Vikings left too much time for Aaron Rodgers. No, the Packers left too much time for Kirk Cousins.
You can make an argument that Cousins is the MVP. I'm not even joking. He has 21 touchdowns to do with your time. No, Chris Whittingham, if the record was better, you could make that argument.
Is he better than Josh Allen?
He's having a better season than Josh Allen.
Wow. That is a great question right now. Just on based off of current form, is Kirk Cousins better than Josh Allen? I mean,
but who's got the better three skill guys than the three that they have? Like, when you're talking about that running back and those two receivers.
The Bills are not bad at the skill position, though.
I know, but I just said, Dalvin Cook, Jefferson, and Thielen. That's like, you'd put those three up against anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they told Diggs to get out of town. Well, Diggs said, trade me, actually. That's how that one worked. But they had Diggs there, and they didn't lose a step with their offense. I think I go Kirk Cousins.
Cousins has better grades on PFF, if you go by such things, but it's very
close. He's been better this year, period. Like, he's been better this year.
And I don't know what it is. Like, their defense hasn't been what it's been under Mike Zimmer, I guess. Because if you were to tell me that they would get probably Kirk Cousins' best season to date this year, I'd be like, wow, Vikings are absolutely a playoff team, probably going to host a playoff game. Well, I'm very confused by them. I don't know anything about the NFL. I just saw the top scoring defense
give up
41 points. I just saw the top offense put up 9 points and no touchdowns against Nick Sorensen's Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I'm at a loss for trying to figure this league out right now.
You're not the only one. I think Stugatz has, what is this now, Stugatz? Your seventh, eighth, ninth straight week of a different top five best teams in the sport?
It is. This is my eighth top five through 11 weeks, Dan. It's a record. I went back and checked my notes. I had seven through, I believe, 10 weeks back in 2016. And now today, I had my 8th in 11 weeks. 16 was a weird year. But I have a new top five if you want it. I do.
Yes, I would. I would love.
I love Stugatz digging through his records, like him having actual records.
Do you think the Vikings are still in there? Because the Vikings for a while there were in his top five. They're 5-5 now. The most confusing 5-5 in the history of sports. Number five, Stugatz.
The Vikings. You know, about that? Big win over the Packers, and the Vikings are back in the top five, Dan. They were out, now they're back in. It's like the seventh time they've been in. It's incredible.
Number four.
The Chiefs are also back in, Dan. Oh, wow. They're coming in at number four. They have found themselves a little defense. I mean, how about that?
Is he going to put the Patriots number one? Number three.
The Buccaneers, Dan, because I'm not stupid. The Buccaneers, number three.
Number two.
They win games with Kyler Murray. They win games whether their head coach is there or at home with COVID. They win games with Colt McCoy. The Cardinals just win games, and they come in at number two. They win.
Is this the first time that this team has been in number one this year?
This is the first time this team has been in the top five this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The number one team, according to Stugatz in the power rankings, is?
I'll do it.
Greatest coach of all time. Rookie quarterback. Defense is back and healthy. Hunter Henry's out there making plays. They've won four straight in a bad division, man. The Bills aren't even good. Dan, the Patriots are the number one team in my power rankings in the NFL. They haven't been in the top five all season, and now they're the best team in the NFL. I love it. Vinny approves.
Jessica, would you be watching this game tonight if Mason Rudolph was the starting quarterback?
Yes, because I'm sick and I have a problem, Dan.
Because Mason Rudolph would discourage me from watching it because of how he punished your last Sunday.
Ben Roethlisberger doesn't?
I watched 4 hours of the Lions and the Steelers battle it out to see who could lose last weekend in the rain, and neither of them lost somehow. That, if I can do that, like Chargers with Mason Rudolph playing for the Steelers, that's nothing. That is nothing.
Stugatz, so just to be clear, the Ravens and the Titans are not in your top five, correct? The 8-3 Titans that had won, I think, six straight are not right in your top five.
The Ravens, correct? Who also won with their backup quarterback today.
Raven Schmavens, okay?
Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley's from Hallandale Beach. He's like
UCLA quarterback? Really?
Wow. Yeah.
He's from Hallandale Beach, and he went to Utah.
I can understand why you think Huntley went to UCLA. Oh, I just did this thing. Yeah. I just did it with Sorensen. I called him Nick Sorensen when he's Daniel Sorensen.
The NFL's crazy, man. I just snorted.
It's your second snort. You had a snort I let go
so
earlier.
Funny. I find myself laughing. I'm snorting. I don't know.
I noticed that it's your second snort. I don't believe that today's football schedule deserves two snorts. I believe it was a one snort Sunday. You got Vikings, Packers, and the rest was crap, right? We can agree the rest was crap, even though I didn't see the 1 o'clock games.
Are we getting to the point where are we becoming numb to the red zone? Have we gotten to the point? Is the red zone a little less fun for you guys?
No, listen to me. You want for the red zone to make absence, make the heart grow fonder, have a bad internet connection on an airplane. When I got Dolphins Jets, it's as if honey was falling from the sky. because of the dual addictions of Sunday at 1 o'clock and the devices, you give me crappy internet that's buffering the entire time. I got a Gaskin screen pass, and I was like a man who was crawling across a desert drinking from an oasis. Like I was throwing sand in my face. I'm like, yes, Gaskin for 3.5 yards. I saw it on video.
He's in the Wildcat this time. Wow.
Yes, he's so patient back there, making it 2nd and 8.
Living in the New York City markets for like 5 years made me really appreciate red zone, because you would either get Jets or Giants. Ooh. And both teams stunk. Ugh. And everything else would be, you know, you couldn't watch it. So I really, really try not to take red zone for granted anymore, even when the games stink.
Chris Cody asked a great question, and I think it's a question that all of us should be asking today, and whoever the people are that make this happen should try and sell it to the rest of us on Sundays, which is, how the hell does Scott Hansen look every bit as fresh at 7:40 p.m. Eastern as he did when the moment that he said 7 hours of commercial free football? I want you to look into this Zoom right now at the faces of Chris and Stu Gatz and Mike. Jessica and Whittingham, they're okay. Whittingham has been terribly sick, but I want you to look at Stu Gatz and Chris Cody and Mike.
Why does Whitty get to look good?
This is, I don't know. He's got
it's the hair. Hair. It's
the perfect hair. I mean, yes.
You're right to point me out.
I mean, look at what Sunday has. Well, I'm exonerating myself only again because I did not see the 10 games that they played at 1 o'clock. But you guys.
You look like you did.
You guys did the full 7 hour experience today, and look at you. You look, all three of you look broken.
It's fair.
It's been tough gambling weeks, man. It really has.
Forgot you said before we went on that you prefer to lose in gambling than to like.
Well, how break about money. This?
Yes.
This
is, no, this no, is no, a no, ridiculous no. assertion.
We were this having a conversation. Like, we Go came ahead. On today, and I said that I made 40 college football bets yesterday, and I won a single dollar. I won four quarters. $1.
That's a win, man. That's a
wait, but you didn't lose any money, right?
That's like correct.
That's your that's profit correct. Was $1. That's pretty good.
That's well, but this win. Is this is what Mike Ryan and Chris were arguing. But Stu Gatz was arguing, I'd rather lose a ton of money and go to sleep feeling bad about myself.
I believe he said, I feel alive when I lose a lot of money.
I think that's borrowed from Al Pacino.
It is. It is. I've never feel more than alive than when they're more than when they're taking their money, the chips away.
When they're taking the chips away.
Oh, Stu Gatz is actually frozen. I thought he was just staring into the abyss of his camera so we could look at his face.
Let's take some money from him and wake him up.
That is
what the worst screenshot.
You guys are looking right now at what Stu Gatz is going to look like at 80 when he doesn't have teeth.
If Stu Gatz ever needs CPR, we'll just take money out of his wallet and he'll immediately come to and feel so alive.
He was making the argument, Mike, that he would rather lose a lot of money because Chris was just saying that's a winning day. You got to watch a whole bunch of football and you did not lose money. You get to leave with enough money to pay part of a toll if you get on the Sawgrass Expressway.
I'm so excited to see Stu Gatz's animated face back, or should I say reanimated. Welcome back, Stu Gatz.
Did someone take money from you?
He's muted.
You're muted. Operator error.
No.
I am sorry about that. It was the worst possible timing for Dan. Like, I know. I'm so sorry. Well, you were talking about like how I would rather lose than what Dan went through, which is 40 bets and win a dollar. And I'd rather lose a substantial amount of money than go through 40 bets and only win a dollar. To me.
And then
things rich people say,
yeah. And then your picture froze and you look taxidermied for like 5 minutes.
I mean, that is a lot of things. You go through a whole roller coaster of a day to win a dollar. At least I feel alive if I bet a lot of money in a game and I lose. I feel alive. I do. I mean, Dan, did you feel alive the entire time that was going on?
I'm always grateful when I don't lose a ton of money.
Yeah. Well said. Put it on the poll. Are you always grateful when you don't lose a large sum of money? And there is zero on your face right now that suggests you feel any kind of alive right now, Stu Gatz.
you did. When Jessica described you as taxidermied, and I was going to go with embalmed, I was going to say, you know what? The people that made him up after he died, they did a decent job. He looks slightly less dead than a dead person.
I don't know what either of those things mean.
We all have to choose before we get out of here. Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen? We all have to choose.
What time in the game?
Yeah, if it's 2 minutes left in the game.
So in the first 58 minutes of the game, I'm taking Josh Allen.
And if it's the first 3 minutes of the game, I'm taking Tua. I'm taking Tua first drive of the game.
best now, quarterback in the NFL.
That's what we should do. We should Frankenstein a quarterback. Like, you'll take two of
I think that was
drive.
Billy's idea. I think that was like Billy's idea was to build a quarterback out of four quarterbacks. It was Tua on the opening drive, Kirk Cousins in the last 2 minutes, and we've got to fill in the remaining 53
Who's
minutes.
Your closer, Brady or Rodgers?
Kirk Cousins.
If you're playing from behind, though. But if you want to salt the game away, you want either Jimmy Garoppolo or Taylor Heineke because he's going to take a 10-minute drive to win the game for you, right?
If it's tied and you need a field goal, you want Rodgers. I think that's...
If it's a quarterback sneak, you want Tom Brady.
Wild.
I really enjoy watching Heineke play. He's just really fun. And I know he's not the answer for a team that wants to win a Super Bowl, but I hope he keeps his job in Washington. I don't want my Sundays to go without seeing the Green Lizard. I enjoy him.
If what you want, Chris, is for something, for someone to collapse from the blind side when hit like a paper mache castle, Joe Flacco is the one that you want to take there. The blind side, the blind side crumbling. There's something comforting about on Sunday tuning in and Joe Flacco, who can't move at all, is just evaporating into some dissolved dust on the field because he didn't expect that hit coming from that side.
Has absolutely no pocket presence. Like, gets destroyed whenever there's a blindside blitz. He got clobbered today. And the question was whether or not it was an interception or a fumble because the ball went so far forward.
I have to be honest. It was good to see him, though. I mean, it was.
Really?
Old Joe. I mean, come on. Super Bowl MVP.
He is the 3 yards in the cloud and a cloud of dust of quarterbacks. Like, he somehow, as a quarterback, throwing the ball is 3 yards in a cloud
of
dust.
There was not anything more stunning today than the Jets scoring a 64-yard touchdown that came up on my dodgy internet and took 3 minutes to score.
It took 3 minutes just for Flacco to throw the ball.
Remember that one time that Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl almost exclusively just through air yards and pass interference drawn? Like, that was their whole game plan. Chuck it deep, we'll get a penalty.
All Joe.
He's 8 years younger than Tom Brady.
Oh, my God. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.